major exhibits now on display at Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown, New York, through the end of the year. The exhibit Exploring Calvin and Hobbes revisits the beloved comic strip created by Bill Watterson from 1985 to 1995. It explores his mastery of the comic strip art form through engaging characters, thoughtful writing, and creative layouts. Visitors will see Calvin and Hobbes daily and Sunday strips, as well as specialty pieces by Watterson from his collection of more than 3,000 originals housed at the Billy Ireland Cartoon Library and Museum at Ohio State University. Also on display, Romare Bearden, artist, activist, visionary. Drawn from the Romare Bearden Foundation collection, the exhibition examines how Bearden agitated for change through images and writing. To tell us more about this, we welcome Fenimore exhibition specialist and dear friend of this program, Chris Rossi. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. Always great to be here.
Wonderful to have you here. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us once again. We also welcome Director of Exhibitions, Julia Mador, and did I get that right?
You did.
Yes. All right. Excellent. Julia, a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
So, I want to talk about Romare Bearden, but not as much as I want to talk about Calvin and Hobbes.
There's a surprise. We won't hold it against you. It's all good.
What has it been like to be in this world of bringing this beloved comic strip to the Fenimore?
Oh, it's been a delight and a real treat. And I have to say, Julia was the real mover and shaker here in organizing this exhibition.
How so?
It came from an idea of how do you appeal to everyone who's basically ever lived? And that answer was Calvin and Hobbes. It appeals to adults. Kids love it. Grandparents love it. It's just a universal comic strip that everybody and anybody can relate to.
It's also a mystery, isn't it? I mean, it was only around for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Watterson is known for being very reclusive,
right?
And he just stops.
Yeah.
And he has the most popular and important comic strip in the world and just walks away and says, "I'm done." And that's it. So I mean that's part of it too, which makes it even more interesting that even new generations are finding Calvin and Hobbes.
Right. For Bill, when he ended it, to him, the story was done. There wasn't anything else that he wanted to add, which you're right, that 10-year run, it makes it almost more precious. But it's wonderful knowing that kids still take out the Calvin and Hobbes books from libraries. It's still widely read.
I was pointing out to Julia, too, as a parent, now I'm looking at the comics from a totally different perspective and looking at how Calvin's parents react to things and just finding so much to identify with. So you go all the way from appreciating it as a kid and then being able to identify with it as a parent and find the humor in it.
It's an enchanting world and comic strip. Calvin is, 6 years old?
Mm-hmm. Six.
Hobbes is his tiger friend.
Yeah.
There are scenes where Hobbes is a stuffed animal,
mm-hmm.
and then he comes to life when all those pesky adults aren't around, mm-hmm. and it's he and Calvin. And also there is such striking, we talked a moment, and just it was a line in the intro about the layouts, but there was such a striking way that the comic strip conveyed the love between these two characters and the humor, which was often gentle,
mm-hmm.
And just things like when Hobbes is out and they're playing in the leaves and Hobbes has a scarf around his neck. I just find that to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I just think it's just adorable.
Mm-hmm.
What has it been like to see people interact with the art on the walls?
Oh, it has been really spectacular for to see visitors there. I was in there on a Saturday, and guests were shoulder to shoulder around the entire perimeter of the gallery, and they were just laughing. I mean, you don't usually get that in an art museum. People don't usually come in and giggle at the sergeants. But for Calvin and Hobbes, everybody was just having an absolute blast.
And when and I'm interested in the source of this material. I mentioned the Billy Ireland Cartoon Library and Museum of the Ohio State University. So all of the material went there?
Yes. Yes. They hold that collection, the Bill Watterson deposit.
And there's, what, like 3,000
original drawings in that collection.
And that was donated, I assume, by Watterson.
Yes.
And for it to, for that exact purpose.
Yes. Yep.
How often does it get out?
Not often. So at the library museum, they have a wall that's dedicated to showing different comic strips from Calvin and Hobbes. It has been to one museum in Oregon, and it has been to a cartoon museum in France. But this is really, it's the first showing on the East Coast, and it's really the first big exhibition dedicated to Calvin and Hobbes.
So how'd you get it?
I sent an email to their generic info at, and miraculously, somebody got back to me.
Persistence.
Yes.
Lots of persistence.
Lots of persistence. Because yeah. I can't imagine that's an easy thing to work through all of the hoops if they're not actively looking to place the art somewhere.
Correct. So they actually brought in a team of people to create a traveling exhibits department to work with us for this. And it's great because now new museums can borrow this show. Museums can borrow their other collections. They have a huge collection of cartoons from the late 19th century through today. So I think both for us and for Billy Ireland Library Museum, this was just a huge opportunity.
Where does it fit in, Chris Rossi, to the world of art and the ultimate mission of the Fenimore?
Well, you know, I've argued for a long time that illustration is art, a valid art form, and this fits right in. The illustrations and the comics are top-notch. They're beautiful. And if art is meant to engage us, delight us, tickle us, make us think about things, examine our lives, this fits the bill.
Absolutely. I also want to mention, of course, the Romero Bearden artist, activist, visionary exhibit. Both these exhibits, both Calvin and Hobbes and Romero Bearden, are on display through the end of the year. And this is also an incredible collection.
Absolutely. This is from the Bearden Foundation, traveled by Landau Exhibitions. It's curated by Bearden's niece, Deirdre. And it is an amazing array of Romero Bearden's work, really striking in their color, their innovation, collaging in a way that I wasn't aware of before. It's a very joyful exhibition, so it's a good compliment, I'd say. The two exhibits actually work pretty well together.
How is it joyful?
Joyful in the colors, in the way Bearden celebrates Black identity, Black culture, and elevates it to a level that I think is accessible to others and harkens back to African imagery and textiles. It's beautiful in that regard.
Julia?
Yeah, so there's a lot of imagery of music and stage performance and Sunday worship. So really that theme of joy is just woven through his art. And being in that exhibit and seeing how he celebrated the lives of everyday Black Americans, it really does bring a lighthearted tone while also conveying some serious messages about civil rights and the movements that, as a history, Black Americans had to go to gain any semblance of equality.
We mentioned these two exhibits, and then there's a lot of other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And so you're open till the end of the year.
We are.
And then you reopen
April 1st.
April 1st. So everything pretty much, you have the opportunity to see all of this wonderful stuff until the end of this year.
Yes.
But it's more than just these two exhibitions. So yeah. Tell us what else people can see.
Well, we've got our masterworks throughout the galleries. That's new acquisitions, including everything from Sargent to Cassatt to Chase. So those are incredible. We have a Vogt exhibition, a folk artist who was an itinerant painter and painted homes across upstate New York, and that's on display as well.
There's also a folk art exhibition called Boundless Spirit, American Folk Art at Fenimore Art Museum, which is a beautiful celebration of just the depth of the Fenimore's collection of folk art.
Is it, how do I ask this question, not to make anybody else mad? I won't make you all mad, but I would think a four-month break to, like, work on everything for the next season is kind of cool.
Oh, it's, yes.
I mean, it seems like a blessing. Like, most museums don't have that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. No, it's huge, and it makes total sense because it's snowing like mad.
Yes.
You know, the tourism is down. And we need to take things apart, take galleries apart, paint, redesign, new graphics, move stuff around. So it's the perfect time to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody's working. It's just it's getting it ready for the next go around.
We are not eating bonbons.
No. It's one of our busiest seasons.
I wish we were, but we're not.
Absolutely.
Just, we're already mapping out the calendar for when something comes down and something goes up. Yeah.
So you have, I assume you have next year pretty much nailed down.
Yep.
And then you have a year after that, the year after that. You're always working
ahead. We're in a pretty good spot until 2028. I mean, to me, 25 is done. I'm looking at 2029 right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, isn't that fascinating? Mm-hmm. And that's the way the art world works, in the sense of making sure everything is out there. When you first went to the Billy Ireland Museum, how many years ago was that?
So I actually reached out to them, I think, at the end of 2022. So to have an exhibit that opens mid 2025, we started about 3 years earlier to get all of those pieces moving.
How many items in that particular exhibit?
There are 81 pieces.
And both a mix of Sunday and and daily strips.
Yep.
And the Sunday strips are in color?
Yes.
And the daily strips are black.
They're
and
in
white.
Black ink. Yep.
Yep. And it's also I was struck. I was just reading something in your family activity guide that I wasn't aware of, but I guess I did know this, but Watterson never wanted, unlike Peanuts or Garfield, he never wanted those characters to be animated or to have voices.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep. He made sure to leave the interpretation of Calvin and Hobbes, you know, who's voicing it in your head, how would they act, up to the reader. He didn't want to associate an actor, a voice to those characters. He made them timeless that way.
And there's no merchandising either.
No.
There's no.
I mean, just the books and maybe
that's
a
it.
Calendar, right?
Yes.
I think that was it.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is unbelievable in this
day
and age.
It is, totally. I mean, it's a very different approach to things.
It stinks for your gift shop.
Exactly.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it does.
But we respect that. That's okay.
But you try to make the best of it. And I love that people are coming. And I assume I was reading in one of the releases of that people are coming from all over to see
this.
Yes.
I mean, that must be, in other words, you have your locals, but then you have people who are really traveling from quite a ways to see it.
We do. And we have a family room set up where people can come in and sit in the little red wagon in front of, you know, cutouts of Calvin and Hobbes and have their photos taken, do selfies, sit down and make their own artwork, make their own cartoon strips, comic strips, and then read books about other cartoonists, including like the guy who did Crazy Cat and, Charles Schultz with Peanuts and others. So it's an immersive room to enjoy the exhibit in as well.
The humor holds up too, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Yeah. He made a choice not to date his humor. I think there's only one or two comics that kind of give you an idea of when he was drawing, and then the rest of them, they could have been 10 years ago or, you know, 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
universal.
Kind of, yep. Yeah, timeless dynamic between a kid's imagination, you know, and the parents. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change much.
The love that people have for those characters is so palpable. It must be fascinating to see that on display at the museum.
Yeah. People have had some emotional reactions to seeing them. I mean, these are not something you're going to see just in every day because they only exist in the Billy Ireland's collection. Seeing people's reaction to these has been kind of a gift to us, getting to bring that to people.
And you said at Billy Ireland they will have a sort of a rotating display.
Yes, because people want to see these when they go to that library and museum. So the best way to do that is to have a wall where they switch out probably every 3 months different cartoons.
Because their work on paper, you have to be very careful about exposure and having them out in the light too long. So that's the rotation.
Well, it's all wonderful stuff that is happening at Fenimore Art Museum, and they are in Cooperstown, New York. To find out more, you can go to their website, which is fenimoreartmuseum.org, fenimoreartmuseum.org, exploring Calvin and Hobbes and Romare Bearden, artist, activist, visionary, as well as the other exhibits we mentioned, on display through the end of the year. FenimoreArtMuseum.org, and you also have Glimmer Nights coming up.
Oh, yeah, yes. We do. Yes. Yep. Come see Calvin and Hobbes and Romare and then hop across the street and enjoy the light show.
Wonderful stuff. I thank you both for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Chris Rossi, Julia Madour. Be well. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, as always.
You're listening to The Roundtable. Find out more at FenimoreArtMuseum.org. RG.